I am filled up today. Got to do a podcast with Brian Bogert today. It was unbelievable and unearthed a lot of things. And I got to talk about some things that I hadn't really talked about before, maybe to a couple people. But brought up the question today. I sat down and I got a chance to be able to read Proverbs 14, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day. We've been going through this 3,000-year-old wisdom. And if you've been with us since the beginning, we started off January 6th. And what I was talking about is I've been doing this practice for like 30 years. And I read the exact same words on the corresponding day. So Proverbs 1 on the first of the month, and then all the way to Proverbs 31. And what I found is it actually reads different because my situation, circumstances, my heart, my attitude is in different places. So the words start to come alive. I started to read the word and then it started to read me. And today the question was, how will you know? Or I'll put it towards me. How will I know? How will I know if I'm wise? Because I keep hearing about this wisdom part. And I wanted to ask in all aspects of life. Number one, how do I know if I'm wise in my family? How do I know I'm wise in my friendships? And lastly, how do I know if I'm wise in my business? And it was amazing because God ran it down today and answered those questions. The corresponding proverb for the corresponding day never, ever disappoints. And today isn't an exception. So let's get this party started. Don't let the smooth taste fool you, boy. That's what my pops used to say to me all the time. Because he was chill, he was wise, and especially as pops, he was as wise as they come. My buddy Will reached out to me today or sent a message and said, there's a quote that my pop said that there's only one business in the world and one business only. That was the people business. You take the people out of the business, you have no business at all. Build the people, allow the people to build the business. And Will reached out to me and said, I took that from your pops. I took that wisdom. And my pops was very chill. This was later on in life. Early on when he was dad, he was a super strong, old school, get off my lawn disciplinarian. Don't call me by my first name. Call me Mr. C. Call me Mr. Cardenas. Call me coach, but don't call me by my first name. I took on a lot of those traits, and my wife has to deal with this now. But one of the ones that he said is, don't let the smooth taste fool you, boy. And what he meant by that, I learned later on in life, because when he was chill and he was pops and he was given wisdom, he said, don't let that fool you into thinking that I hadn't been through the war, that I hadn't been through the times, and I'm going to say war figuratively, that I haven't been through the wars in my life, that I haven't been through the challenges, that I wasn't willing to get my hands dirty. So don't let the smooth taste of pops fool you that I haven't laid the groundwork, and all these things that I'm telling you about don't come from theory, boy. They come from experience. And so that's the thing that I wanted to make sure that people understand when I'm talking about Proverbs, or I'm talking about God and I'm talking about this aspect. It's one aspect of my life that has been foundational, but I want you to realize that you don't have to just have one aspect to you. You can have business, you can have family, you can have friendships. And I believe what God wants us to be able to do is to be congruent or consistent in all of them. Never are we going to be in a place where it's perfect. But it's amazing because the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, like I was challenged by this because I keep hearing seek wisdom. This is what my mom told me for a long time. Whatever you do, seek wisdom, son. And then I learned that wisdom was the right use of knowledge. I was like, cool, how do I get it? By fear of God. I don't want to fear him. But then he said, I don't mean it in that context. What I mean it in is that I want you to respect me. But the only way I could respect you, God, is if I spend time with you. But the only way I spend time with you is if I'm present with you and I actually set aside time to be able to spend time. And how can I communicate with you? Well, at first it'll be through the word and I'll read the word and then the word will start to read me. So if I can do that, then I respect the character. And then if I respect the character, then I respect God. And then when I respect him or fear him, then he'll give me wisdom, right use of knowledge. He'll bring knowledge. And then with that knowledge, he'll bring understanding. With that understanding, he'll bring insight. With that insight, he'll bring discretion. With that discretion, he'll bring discipline. And with that discipline, he'll bring strength. And that strength will lead me right back to the fear or respect of him. But where my confusion was is, okay, so how will I know if I'm wise in this thing? Because what you've told me over time is that the right thing, the right, depends on the situation. It doesn't depend on the system. And God had said it many times throughout the word that he wouldn't be housed in a house that was built by the hands of men. Meaning that we couldn't systemize God, that we had to be present with him. So then there was my question, like, how will I know? How will I know if I'm wise? Let's start off in the family. How will I know if I'm wise with my friendships? How will I know I'm wise in business? And he answered these questions just like he does through other questions. So this one's going to be a tough one. And if you don't want to, sometimes I don't want to hear it. So I just turn it off. And I did this for a lot of times with God. But if you don't want to hear it and ask yourself these questions, because once you hear them, you'll never be able to unhear them. So the first question in, how will I know if I'm wise in my family, my friendships, or my business, is number one, is am I building or tearing down? And in verse 1 of Proverbs 14, it says, a wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. And God asked me that is, are you building or are you tearing down? Some people will be like, well, I'm tearing it down to remodel it. Well, then you're building. But I had to ask myself this question, am I building in my family? Am I building them up? Am I building things for them? In my friendships, am I building my friends up? In my business, am I building it or am I tearing it down? This was a hard one for me to be able to sit in. In verse number 11, it goes into the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the righteous will flourish. Watch that. The house of the wicked, if I'm doing the wrong thing, if I'm tearing things down, even if I build the house, it will be destroyed. But the tent, the thing that doesn't have much value and we don't think could hold that much will actually have more value than the house that a person that did it for the wrong reasons will have it. In verse number 14, it says the faithless will be fully repaid for their ways and the good rewarded for theirs. If I stutter while I'm reading, I haven't been a good reader my whole entire life, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but especially reading in front of people as a kid, it freaked me out. That's why I wanted to do it as much as possible. So if you hear the ums, the ahs, things like that, bear with me. I love you. I hope you love me too. And in verse number 22, it says, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. In verse number 24, it says, the wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. The folly of fools yields folly. So if you're foolish and you yield folly, that's what you get. And verse number 32, it says, when calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous seek refuge in God. Am I building or am I tearing down? The number two question is, how am I walking through life? How am I walking through life? Verse number 2, it says, whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly, but those who despise him are devious in their ways. Whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. I never read it that way, and I've read this for 30 years, and I never read it like that. But it says, whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. Well, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if I am truly wise in my family, in my friendships, and in my business, then I'll walk uprightly, meaning that I don't have anything to hide. And how am I walking? In verse number 12, it says, there is a way that appears right to be right, but in the end leads to death. In verse 19, it says, evildoers will bow down in the presence of good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Never grow weary in doing good works. How am I walking through life? Number three is, how am I speaking life? Am I speaking life to those around me? Verse number three, it says, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. In verse number seven, it says, stay away from a fool, for you'll not find knowledge on their lips. Are you speaking life? Are you using people's names? Are you lifting them up? Are you celebrating inch stones? Are you doing this? And if you are, then you're being wise in your family and your friendships and in your business. Question number four, are my hands soft? And this was a thing that my pops would say to me, boy, you willing to get dirty? And I was like, come on, pop. And see, in verse number four, it says right here, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvest. Are my hands soft? Am I doing the work? Am I willing to get dirty? You see, because when there's oxen, there's going to be manure, there's going to be nastiness, there's going to be dirt, but there's also going to be amazing work that's going to happen. And there's going to be incredible strength. So are my hands soft? And am I willing to get dirty? In some cases, yes. In some cases, I say, I just want the spoils, but I don't want to put in the work. But I can tell you this, every single person that I see that has sustainable wealth or sustainable anything, their family and their friendships and in their business, anytime I see anything that is of value, it is always because that person is willing to get their hands dirty. Are my hands soft? Ask yourself that today. Next question is, am I honest? In verse number five, it says, an honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. That's pretty simple. It puts it right to the point. Verse number 13, even in laughter, the heart may ache and rejoicing may end in grief. Sometimes we mask and use comedy. I've done this in the past. I use comedy to be able to mask pain. But am I being honest? Am I being honest in all that I do? In verse number 25 also, it says, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Are you honest or am I honest? Question number six, and how do I know if I'm wise? Does knowledge come easy? And this was a strange one for me to look at. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but the knowledge comes easy to the discerning. Well, that means that if I want to be discerning, then I'll have to have insight. If I want to have insight, I've got to have knowledge. I'll have understanding. If I want to have understanding, I'll have knowledge. If I want to have knowledge, then I need wisdom. And if I want wisdom, then I got to fear God. So does knowledge come easy? And if it doesn't, I'm not being wise in my family, my relationships, and my business. Question number seven is, am I thinking long-term? And I'm not going to read every one of these verses, but you can go into them. Verse number eight, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. See, prudence means that the thought of the future, I'll give you one more, is verse number 16. It says, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. Am I thinking long-term? In verse number 17, 18, 29, and 34, it goes into this also. The next question is, am I seeking outside validation? This one is a big one because I think I do this. I'm very guilty of this. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Realize that the things that you're going through and the work that you're putting in and the dark work, as Anthony Truck said yesterday or the other day on the podcast, no one else will know that. No one else knew all the free throws that Michael Jordan shot in the dark and Kobe Bryant to get prepared for that game. And my brother told me this. He said Michael Jordan didn't need for somebody to congratulate him on the free throw that he made in practice. That was a part of the work. And so when you're seeking outside validation, I could tell you this from experience, it's always going to let you down. Verse number 20, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. And I looked at that and I said, like, what does that mean? The poor are shunned even by their neighbors and the rich have many friends. But the rich have many friends a lot of times because the advantages that they can give to other people. But are you, if you're seeking outside validation, you'll be surrounded by a lot of people who will want you to do well when you're doing well, but they won't be there when you're not. And am I wise in my family and my relationships and my business? Well, if I'm not seeking outside validation and I'm just looking at what God would have me to do on that particular day, then is when I'm being wise. The last one in this is a large population is a king's glory, but without subjects, a prince is ruined. Allow God to give you that validation. Question number 9 in this is, am I generous? Am I generous? This one's a massive one. It comes to me from Gary Spellman. In verse number 21, it says, it is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. That speaks for itself. In verse 31, it says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And the last one here is, am I seeking wisdom? Am I actually seeking it? So if I want to be wise, like how will I know if I'm being wise? Well, it's funny because I think God has the greatest sense of humor in the whole entire world. And what he was saying to me at the end was, ask yourself, am I seeking wisdom? Because if you're seeking wisdom, I'll give it to you. It's as simple as that. So in verse 26, 27, 33, and 35, so in 26, it says, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. In verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. In verse 33, wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. And in verse 35, a king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant arouses his fury. Think of these 10 questions anytime you want to ask yourself, how will I know? How will I know if I'm being wise in my family, my friendships, my business? Well, here it is. God gave us the blueprint in Proverbs 14. It says, am I building or am I tearing down? Ask yourself that question. How am I walking through life? Am I thinking long-term or am I just thinking of immediate gratification? Am I speaking life to all those around me? Are my hands soft? Am I honest? Does knowledge come easy to me? Am I thinking long-term? Am I seeking outside validation? Am I generous? And am I seeking wisdom? And what God revealed to me right at the end was, even the world rewards the wise. Because what my pop said was that he would always tell me, he said, you can't mix oil and water, boy. If you take water like this and you fill it halfway with oil and then you shake it up, it'll kind of mix together. But then when it settles, it'll go back to its place. And what he said is, you can't mix oil and water. But the crazy thing is even though we can't mix oil and water, God honors the wise. Why? Because he gave it to you in the first place. And what's nuts about it is even the world that a lot of times is completely opposite from what God would have you to do, the world, and what the world would tell you, it still rewards the wise. Even if you don't use his name. It's amazing because it's across the board. I told you that Proverbs 14, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom, it never disappoints. Not just Proverbs 14, but just every proverb, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. Today, how will I know if I'm wise? Well, I have to ask myself these questions, and I can't just ask them once and then set it and forget it. It's got to be constant. Read the Word and allow the Word to read you. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.